The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink it and criminalize our
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, May 14th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm joining you live and direct from Miami, Florida, where I'll be here for the next four or five shows, bringing you a look at the marijuana movement here in the South. I'm speaking on May 17th, this Saturday, in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, for the Florida Marijuana Business Conference. You want to check that out at floridamarijuanaconference.com. And then I return to the Pacific Northwest on May 22nd with the Marijuana Business Association, MJBA. They're doing a panel discussion on Thursday. I am moderating a couple of panels there. It's going to be an amazing event. So I hope you can all join us, and I'll bring you as much coverage on 420 Radio as I can. My apologies for the connection here. We're connecting via Skype, and my phone has been dying on me. The power that it's been consuming is faster than the battery can charge. So if we drop out, I apologize, but I'll try to get us back on the air as quickly as possible. Now, in the news today, we've got our 420 radio news. We're going to take a look at what's going on with medical marijuana in Minnesota and in New York State. We've also got some stories on the NFL and many more headlines to bring you. And then when we go behind the headlines, we're going to take a look at the first 4 months of marijuana legalization in the state of Colorado and how the doom and gloom predictions of law enforcement have failed to come true in the Centennial State. Also on today's show, it's our Daily Toker Tunes for IRE Wednesday. We're going to bring you a great track from Ziggy Marley that was recorded back at one of the normal conferences a few years ago, Three Little Birds, done in an intimate acoustic set. Really enjoyed being able to film that one, let me tell you. Also on the show today, we're going to do our Ladies of Legalization segment, and I'll be joined by the new executive director of Mom's Fucking Marijuana. God damn it!
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. business. It's simply business, you know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activist to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today. You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org. Hey, Tokers and Tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED Lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED Lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you can hear me out there on the other side of the line. Radical Russ here in Miami, Florida, having some technical difficulties with our remote connection, but I believe everything is back up and running. I'll be watching the chat room to ensure that that is the case, but we'll continue on here with our 420 radio news, where the Drug Enforcement Administration shocked the nation this week as it seized a shipment of hemp seeds bound for Kentucky's first legal hemp crop in decades. Not just state legal, but federally legal, as Congress recently passed amendments to the Farm Bill that allowed states like Kentucky and nine others with existing hemp laws to begin planting and studying hemp as an industrial product. The DEA claimed that they were following congressional legislative intent, which came as a surprise to the amendment's author, Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell. The 250 pounds of viable hemp seeds from Italy were finally released by the DEA late Tuesday after lengthy conversations by phone with Kentucky Agricultural Commissioner James Comer, who had planned to sue the DEA in federal court if it did not relent by today. The hemp seeds will be planted Friday in a ceremony that will include Vote Hemp and Growing Warriors, a veterans group that teaches agricultural skills to returning veterans. Meanwhile, in Kentucky, parents who championed the Bluegrass State's passage of a CBD-only medical marijuana law are finding out that it isn't helping their sick children. Doctors there are telling patients it may be years before the first trials begin in Kentucky, partially due to the fact that the use of CBD, allowed by state law, requires approval from the FDA for a clinical trial. Then there is the expense, estimated at potentially $10,000 per participant. Also at issue is the state's lack of any CBD production, forcing any CBD oil to be used in the state to be imported from Colorado or elsewhere in violation of both Colorado and federal marijuana trafficking laws. Another consideration is that in any clinical trial, there's a 50% chance your child will be in the placebo control group, receiving no CBD oil at all. Many Kentucky parents have given up waiting and have moved to Colorado. The governor of Minnesota and his supporters in law enforcement are threatening the viability of Minnesota medical marijuana. Competing versions of the bill in the House and Senate are currently being negotiated for a compromise to bring to Governor Mark Dayton's desk. The This has been some of your 420 radio news for Thursday, May 14th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines and take a look at last year's pronouncements from law enforcement and opponents of legalization on how deadly, dangerous, and crime-filled Colorado would be today under legalization. Belville Show on 20radio.org. We'll be right back.
I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting Independent Marijuana Legalization Public Radio.
Mary, marijuana, do you wanna? Mary, do you wanna tonight?
As marijuana goes mainstream, you need to be armed with the facts. Nobody can teach you better than Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Ph.D. You may know Dr. Mitch from his column in High Times magazine or his weekly appearance on the Russ Belville Show. Dr. Mitch is also the author of some of the best books on marijuana science, culture, history, and health, including Understanding Marijuana, Parents' Guide to Marijuana, Pot Politics, and more. Visit Amazon.com and search for Mitch Earlywine, that's E-A-R-L-E-Y-W-I-N-E, and order your books today. You can also contact Dr. Mitch by email at 420research@gmail.com. The Hollywood Hemptress Hour with professional comedian and former reality star Terry Joyce from Portland, Oregon, replaying Tuesdays at 12 Pacific on 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And we're actually going to go back in time and look at some of the headlines from 2013 as Colorado was deciding whether or not to legalize marijuana. CBS Denver reported in February of 2013, Sheriff in California says Coloradoans will regret legalizing marijuana. This was an interview with the sheriff of Mendocino County, Tom Allman, who says the voters in Colorado will regret the decision to legalize marijuana because crime will also increase. He says marijuana has led to a spike in violent crime and growers aren't the only victims. Quote, thugs put on masks. They come to your house. They kick in your door. They point guns at you and say, give me your marijuana. Give me your money. End quote, Sheriff Allman said. He also said, quote, mark my words. 3 years from now, find out what they think of it. They'll say, wait a minute. Another set of headlines comes from the Denver Post. This was from July of 2013. Denver DA's version of a violent medical marijuana industry questioned. This was Denver District Attorney Mitch Morrissey, who said, quote, we've had 12 homicides directly related to medical marijuana. We've had over 100 aggravated robberies and home invasions. Many of you probably didn't read about the double execution style homicide that we had here in Denver, where people were laid down on the floor and executed because they were running a medical marijuana outlet, end quote. But on Tuesday, Morrissey said the figures he presented the day before to the council were, quote, loose figures, and none of the homicides was in an established medical marijuana facility. And another headline that we get, this was actually on the Douglas County Sheriff in Colorado, Douglas County Sheriff's website, from all the way back in 2012, September of 2012, Douglas County Sheriff votes no to make pot legal across Colorado. It's bad for our kids and our community and is against federal law, the sheriff says. Douglas County Sheriff David Weaver said, quote, if voters pass this amendment, I believe there will be many harmful consequences. Expect more crime, more kids using marijuana, and pot for sale everywhere. I think our entire state will pay the price. Please join me in voting against Amendment 64 in November. And they said they predict the number of regular users will at least double and likely triple in the most vulnerable 12 to 25 age range. It's more addictive than ever, 10 to 20 times more potent than the 60s. Economic losses. A workforce that regularly uses marijuana is tardy, calls in sick, and has more on-the-job accidents, and is less productive than non-using workers. And finally, deaths from impaired driving would increase. About 50 people are killed in traffic accidents every year by drivers in Colorado under the influence of marijuana. Experts predict the number of deaths will increase. Double, they say. Well, those were the headlines for 2012 and 2013. Here's the headline from May of 2014. Crime still isn't devouring Denver 4 months after legal pot. This one comes from Huffington Post, and they point out that overall violent crime in Denver for the four-month period that includes January to April fell 5.6% from the same period a year earlier. Crime is down in the four main categories of violent crime: homicide, sexual assault, robbery, and aggravated assault. Property crime dropped 11.4% from the first 4 months of 2013. But what has soared is revenue from legal marijuana sales. Marijuana shops brought in nearly $19 million collectively in March, up nearly a third from about $14 million in February. Nearly $13 million has been added to state tax coffers, $7.3 million of that from recreational marijuana. The use of marijuana among youth and among adults in Colorado has remained steady at about 8%. The number of fatalities on Colorado roads has fallen. The number of DUIs and marijuana-impaired driving citations has fallen. The number of kids that are still in school has stayed about the same. It does not seem that marijuana is causing any of these harms that these opponents were predicting. All right, I don't know if you can hear me, but it's 20 after. Time for us to take a break. When we come back, Daily Token Tunes.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical RUSS on the Russ Belville Show. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 23 after the hour, and time for us to get Irie on this Irie Wednesday. And I'm feeling pretty Irie right here in Miami, Florida. Although I understand it's warmer in Portland right now, probably not as humid. Before we do, though, I want to make a couple of quick announcements. Gordon Green would normally be on in this segment, but as I'm on the road, we're not connecting for this segment. So this is my choice of Irie Wednesday music for today. Also, want to let you know, tomorrow's show, we are going to feature two great guests on the show in our Law Enforcement Against Prohibition segment. Diane Goldstein is joining us from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. She's one of the board members. Also joining us will be Morgan Haas from the Marijuana Business Association, a new sponsor of the Russ Belville Show. Those two ladies will be part of a presentation going on Friday up in Seattle that we'll have them tell you all about. But you can get more information. You can email me, russ@radicalrust.com, and I can give you all the connection details. I just heard about it recently, so I haven't had a chance to post on it yet. And then next week on Thursday, I'll be part of a Marijuana Business Association event up there in Bellevue that is being emceed by my good friend Al Olson from NBC News. And I'll be moderating a couple of panels. There'll be some business panels, some media panels, all sorts of great information going on there. For more information, check out the Marijuana Business Association, MJBA. Don't know exactly what their website is, so you'll just have to do a little bit of Googling. All right, for today's Daily Toker Tune, I'm going to bring you a track that we got to record live at the Normal National Conference, and I think it was 2010, maybe 2011 in Denver. I'm not sure which year it was, but Ziggy Marley was the guest of Normal, and he brought along two of his musicians to play an acoustic guitar set. The three of them did a great little version of Three Little Birds, of course, the Bob Marley classic. And we were there to film it. It was just a very intimate performance. It was very special. It's one of my favorite moments ever in marijuana activism. So I hope you enjoy that. And when we come back from the tune, we'll get into our Ladies of Legalization segment. The new director of Moms for Marijuana, Cheryl Schumann, will be joining us. And then we'll have time for the next question. So stay tuned. This is Reach Along.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word Russ to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's Russ to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ. on the Russ Bellville Show.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Fun.
Oh, hello. I'm Big Daddy, and I want you to join me at the Funky Roller Ring. We're partying hard over here, baby. So stop on by, check out the funky grooves, and shake your booty, too.
Don't get in a doozy, brother. Don't get in a doozy.
In 1929, Pauline Sabin began the women's movement to end alcohol prohibition. 4 years later, the 21st Amendment was passed. Women are crucial to ending adult marijuana prohibition, and we celebrate women's marijuana activism in a segment we call Ladies of Legalization.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
All right, here we go. Welcome back, everybody. It's Radical Russ here at 420 Radio and the Russ Bellville Show, trying to control everything remotely here from Miami. As you know, I no longer have an assistant, so this is a little more difficult than I may have anticipated. But hopefully on the line right now, we've got Cheryl Schumann, the new executive director of Moms for Marijuana International. Cheryl, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can, Russ. How are you?
Oh, good. It's a miracle. I got us all connected. Glad that worked out. All right. So just wanted to talk a little bit about the new position that you've taken at Moms for Marijuana. Tell us a little bit about the organization and how you came to become the executive.
Well, it all started back when I first met Sarah Frank. I met Sarah Frank right about the same time I met you, when I was going around and going to all the activism conventions and whatnot. And this was shortly after, oh, I'd say 2007 or so. And I met her then, and Sarah's about the same age as my daughter. So, like, instantly, you know, I'm a mom. I'm a 54-year-old mom, and we have, you know, children that age. So, you know, I was really struck by her because, you know, first of all, she's disabled. She's not a wealthy woman, but she is very rich in spirit and in integrity and honor. And I was just really touched by her passion with what she was doing. And at that time, Moms for Marijuana was just a MySpace page. And she moved shortly thereafter over to Facebook and, you know, ran a completely volunteer organization. What really impressed me with her is, even though she was living on disability and barely getting by, this is a young woman who took her disability money and would pay for flyers and posters and the food at these, gatherings that she would hold for other young moms. And I was just really impressed with that and really inspired by her. And so we stayed in touch, completely over the years. And as you know, back in those days, I had just come through my illness and was with Beverly Hills Normal at the time. And so we really bonded on, you know, women in the movement, the need for women in the movement. You know, and as we all know, you know, following in the footsteps of women like Pauline Sabin back in the 1930s, it's women that have really led the fight against prohibition. So, you know, when you see women like that who are that driven and that passionate, and then I go back to like a Beverly Hills locality where people take everything for granted, and I was always really surprised, to be perfectly frank, about the lack of participation in such a huge city like Los Angeles, because you know, when I was with Beverly Hills Normal, it was very difficult to get anyone motivated or activated. And so, you know, when I met Sarah, I was just really inspired by her. So, you know, we went through Beverly Hills Normal, and I would run into her at the Seattle Hemp Fest and different normal events and whatnot. And so over the years, we stayed in touch. And then fast forward to the Normal Women's Alliance. We were both on the original steering committee for the Normal Women's Alliance. And that's where, you know, we really, you know, got to know each other better. And you know, because we both were suffering with illness as well, we really bonded. And I think we were a really good source of strength for each other, you know, and really getting to know each other, you know, even though it's online. And, you know, I mean, you know how the internet is. You can get to know each other better online than some of the people in your own family, right?
But, yeah.
You know, but I was just always very inspired by her. So as we evolved in our friendship, you know, I the Normal Women's Alliance changed and I went in a different direction. And at that time I was with Kush Magazine, and then that went in a different direction. And I really kind of decided to focus more on what I did for a living before, you know, I got sick. And that was media and public relations and marketing. So yeah, I made a very conscious decision. And as you know, because you've known me probably longer than any other activist in the community, you know, to me, it's always been my dream and my vision to witness and perhaps cause a convergence of celebrity culture, mainstream culture, and cannabis culture, because for so many years now, we've had tremendous, you know, success amongst the cannabis community. But to really get past that tipping point, I think we're seeing that in the mainstream media now. You know, 2 years ago, you would have never seen a positive story about cannabis in mainstream media. So I think that, you know, for lack of a better word, by normalizing cannabis and mainstreaming it in a way that someone who's a teacher or a doctor or an attorney in New York City or, you know, places that are extremely influential in mainstream culture, that's when you start to see real change. So Sarah and I, many, many times over the years, you know, we've brainstormed and talked about, you know, media strategy and just women in the movement and the need really for, you know, a true sisterhood and, you know, mentoring young women and, you know, just really creating, you know, more accepted mainstream things so that when you're out there and you're talking about cannabis, it's not so taboo. And it's, you know, my goal at some point would be to make this as normal as sitting down and having a glass of wine at dinner and have it be that publicly accepted, you know, and just it's not that big of a deal.
Well, that's something we've seen in your media appearances, and we've seen throughout the promotion of Moms for Marijuana here is a you know, kind of a lifestyle that's not associated with tie-dyes and Birkenstocks and long hair, but one that's a little more accessible to the mainstream. As we look at polls for legalization, we almost always find women 5 to 10 points behind men in their support for legalization. Do you think it's partially this image problem and that what you're doing may help bring more women into legalization?
You know, I absolutely do. I mean, I think the overall problem has been an image problem. And, you know, when you come from a world of branding and PR and media and strategy and all that, which is what I did for, you know, decades, you know, I look at this and it's simply a rebranding campaign. Just how cannabis got a bad reputation and was demonized as reefer madness and the devil's weed and all that sort of thing. That's what we have to overcome. And to do that, we really have to put a new face on it. So, you know, my daughter Amy and I, all the way back when we, you know, did Beverly Hills Normal, that was one of the things that we talked about was the need for women. And when you talk about women like Pauline Sabin, and when you see the fact that, you know, just an overall viewing habits when, you know, TV and media are marketing to their audience. They're marketing to women because women are the people that are heads of families. They make buying decisions. They make voting decisions. And not only for themselves or their husbands, but also for their children. And they're known as the glue that keeps the family together. So when you look at campaigns, like, for example, 502 and Amendment 64, when you look at those campaigns, I think one of the things that was outrageously successful from a branding and from a media message was the fact that you have these women who were obviously, you know, moms, but pretty much everyday normal women who say, hey, look, I don't use cannabis myself, but I realize my children need to be educated about this, and these are the facts. And then they go on to present their case. And then it's more palatable for people to understand, you know, and I think we have to be very careful about the images that we put out there. And I think we have to be good role models and be responsible and, you know, be kind to each other and stay on point. Because, as you know, Wes, when you're on the front lines of this drug war, especially overcoming incredible odds, we have enough to deal with the, you know, Kevin Sabets of the world and the Ann Coulters of the world. The last thing on earth that we need to do is start fighting amongst ourselves, because we're all on the same mission here. And that's to educate, to create awareness, to get people's stories out there, whether they're from Beverly Hills or they're from Appalachia or Washington or Denver or Michigan, or whether they're dealing with, you know, unfortunately going to jail and serving time for harsh sentences, or they've lost their children, or they're a senior citizen or a corporate woman. All of these stories need to be told. And that's what's really good about the media that we've done, is it has opened up a hunger and an appetite every single day. And I'm sure that you get the same calls. Every single day, we get at least 10 to 15 calls from mainstream media all around the world that say, hey, look, I'm looking for a specific story on Dravet syndrome. I'm looking for a story on epilepsy. Or I'm looking for someone who's doing life in prison for cannabis. Or I'm looking for women that are in this movement. Or I'm looking for a veteran. Or I'm looking for post-traumatic stress disorder. And so we've kind of become a clearinghouse for public speakers and for media personalities. And that's my job. You know, I understand media. I know you understand media. And so what I hope to do is to tell as many stories as we can, to get them out there, whether it's a child who's suffering, whether it's an elderly person who's suffering, or whether it's someone who's building the American dream and capitalizing on the green rush or the pot-com boom or whatever you want to call it. I'm a firm believer that this plant can not only heal a multitude of illnesses, this plant can heal our economy and create jobs and revenue that we desperately need as a country.
Yes, and we've got a couple minutes left, Cheryl, but before we let you go, I want to give you a chance to talk about the future of moms. What are some of the projects that you guys have on the front burner, and how can people get in touch with you and contribute and help if they'd like?
Well, one of the things I'm very excited about is we just officially filed for our 501c4 status. So we're going to, I mean, we are technically a legal nonprofit corporation, which is very exciting. We're also talking about new campaigns about, you know, CPS issues. We're starting a speakers bureau. We're doing a big event on July 4th weekend, another big event for New Year's Eve. We're working on getting branded merchandise and T-shirts and so forth so we can get the word out. We've expanded from 40,000 followers to over 250,000 followers in just the past few months. We're developing chapters all around the country. We're developing women and starting programs for mentorship. A lot of really exciting things going on. One of the things Amy and I are getting ready to do, actually starting tomorrow, is starting a new national media tour, starting in Seattle, then in Denver, then Chicago, then New York, and then back in L.A. And as you know, the New York Times Magazine followed us for 5 days, shadowing us here in Los Angeles. There's a big article that will be coming out in the New York Times Magazine, which I'm excited about. And we have some very exciting projects that we'll be making announcements soon for our TV developments. So,
all right.
Very excited. And
so, Moms
for
Marijuana on. Oh yeah, go ahead. You're doing it.
They can find us on Facebook at Moms for MJ, and also Parents for MJ, and then MomsForMarijuana.org. And we would love to welcome anyone who's interested, and we welcome you with open arms.
All right. Thank you so much, Cheryl Schumann, the new executive director of Moms for Marijuana International. Give my best to your daughter, Amy, and say hi to Sarah if you see her again. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Russ. Thanks so much for the opportunity. Bye-bye.
You bet. All right, folks, when we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant. I'm going to discuss a little more on this topic when we come back.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
New Approach Oregon is a coalition of Oregon citizens who believe that treating marijuana use as a crime has failed, costing taxpayers millions in law enforcement resources. We believe it's time for a new approach on marijuana, and that Oregonians deserve a chance to decide in the 2014 general election. Our approach will regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana for adults in Oregon. By implementing a strict system to regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana, we can move Oregon forward and create new revenue for critical services. Under our approach for 2014, 40% of funds would support K-12 education, 20% would support mental health and treatment services, and 15% would be dedicated to law enforcement. Public opinion, coupled with victories in Washington and Colorado, confirms marijuana legalization is inevitable. Visit our website at newapproachoregon.com or our page on Facebook at New Approach Oregon. Thank you.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420radio.org.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it. And didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
I said, hey, do you have a joint cancer? Would be a lot cooler if you did. Lie to don't hide it. Lie to don't hide it.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah! Radical rant.
All right, welcome back, folks. Time for us to go on a radical rant, and we're going to talk a little bit about my last guest, but we're not talking about her directly, more what's going on around her in a piece I call On the Hate for Cheryl Schumann. Hate is a compelling thing. It can be more addictive than, more powerful than cocaine. You come to see the object of your hate not as a person with human failings, but a monster to be demonized. The hated becomes an effigy, and grows beyond the original perceived slights and actual wounds to encompass hate for concepts, ideas, and paradigms associated with the hated. As the hate consumes the hater, those outside the hate field can no longer see the original slights and wounds, but only the negative energy expended by the hater. Thus, I begin my discussion of my friend, Cheryl Schumann. Cheryl has become the executive director of Moms for Marijuana International. The announcement has stirred up a hornet's nest of hate for her and revived all the internal Mara drama I've come to loathe about this movement. And the problem for me is many of the people who are the hornets are my friends too. I come here not to praise Cheryl and not to bury her. I come here to examine this public hate for her that does us as a movement no good. If you're my friend and you have a personal issue with Cheryl, And look, I've read your blog posts, I've read your Facebooks, I've read your web pages, I've even spoke to some of you personally about this. If you've got an issue with her, I don't begrudge you your right to feel hate or whatever you like. That's your business. I don't judge either side. But don't try to bring me into this whose side are you on game. I had a very prominent friend of mine at the last cup tell me if my girl showed up, oh, X, Y, and Z is going to happen. My girl? Who the fuck am I, Smokey Robinson? If you got a problem with her, you deal with it. Don't play junior high games with me. In all my experiences with Cheryl, and I was the first one to meet her, she's always been kind and helpful to me. I know the haterade chorus out there will say, oh, you're being used for your cannabis celebrity, like it's some sort of cynical manipulation. You know, some of the same people claim I have no celebrity, so I don't know how that works. You can figure it out for yourself. But I don't know. I can't read their minds. I don't know what the hate's all about. But what I do know is that when I've had numerous gigs in Southern California, rather than having to spend hotel money, Cheryl let me crash on her couch, like lots of activists do for me all around the country. When an LA event got moved last minute to San Bernardino, she let me borrow her car to get out there and keep it for the weekend so I could get back to LA. When someone prominent in the movement stiffed me money I was owed, leaving me broke on the road, Cheryl loaned me $100. When one of the top extract makers in the country got me over-globbed in his LA hotel room, Cheryl was the one dealing with me puking all over the front seat of her Prius and eventually picking me up out of the gutter of an LA street from a pile of my own vomit. And yes, Virginia, you can overdose on THC. You're not going to die, but you will feel like it. And as friends go, she's done everything but help me move cross town, bail me out, or hide a body. Okay, I only have need for those first two so far. And again, I can imagine the Hornets out there seeing me as naive or blind or bought off. Some are crass enough to think we've had a sexual relationship, and for the record, no, not even in a Clintonian sense. But I don't think I'm blind to Cheryl at all. I know who Cheryl is. I know what she's up to. She's a survivor in Hollywood, the sharkiest of shark tanks there is. Yeah, you can mock Optician to the Stars and denigrate her, what, 8, 9, 10 national and international television appearances in the past couple of years. But when a 50-ish woman in Hollywood is getting repeated national television exposure, that in and of itself is a talent. And that's what I saw in Cheryl, the talent to get on TV. Now, while Alan St. Pierre, Mason Tavert, Rob Campia, Ethan Nadelman, and Steph Shearer do fantastic work, nobody outside the insular world of drug policy reform has any clue who the hell they are. They can do a great interview on MSNBC or C-SPAN that's seen by a few hundred thousand political junkies, most of whom demographically already agree with legalization. Cheryl can get on The View and expose the message of medical marijuana and legalization to millions of a demographic that never talks about marijuana. Now, she doesn't always do it in the way I would prefer. The hawking of those terrible canna cigs is pretty disappointing. I mean, there are so many better vapor pens out there. And her recent public tirade against Parents for Pot's Mickey Martin was inexcusable. And I've told her that personally. So, and there's no need to denigrate marijuana smoking in order to sell marijuana vaporization. And there's other little things, sure. But if she was still the head of Beverly Hills Normal and I were still her superior, I'd have the power to control and shape her message. Instead, California Haterade forced me to terminate her charter, even though all she had done to that point was pour in a few thousand dollars of her own money to make chapter swag. So she's left to shape her own message, a message that some of the cannabis family doesn't like. So they respond to her with massive hatred and threats, guaranteeing she won't take any direction from any of them on how to better shape the message. And she's forced to have to get financial support somewhere and turns to a company that's not yet tainted by the smear campaign against her. And sadly, so many people are so locked into their hate and their campaign to have Cheryl, I don't know what, tarred and feathered, written out on a rail, blacklisted, boycotted. Who really thinks that's going to happen? We can't even get the marijuana movement to agree on whether saying marijuana is bad or not. Anyway, so locked into their hate they are that they can't see the bigger picture of how things look from a mainstream point of view. Coming out soon, there's going to be a New York Times Magazine piece on Cheryl Schumann. I was interviewed for it at length, as were many others, including some of the Hornets and some of my activist friends. As the reporter questioned me regarding the Cheryl hate, he mentioned how some of the Hornets didn't seem very credible. I'm interested to see how this piece reads, but my bet is that the Hornets are not going to like it very much, as it will expose how the mainstream sees this Mara drama, and it won't make the activist side look very good. For instance, if you're referencing Encyclopedia Dramatica for your sourcing, mainstream reporters don't take you seriously. Here's what the mainstream sees. They turn on their usual show, Ricky Lake, The View, whatever, and they see this smartly dressed, professional-looking, mature blonde lady. She's talking about the medical benefits of vaporizing marijuana. The video runs, showing her upscale, elegant living space. She's hosting a cannabis edibles luncheon with other respectable, approachable-looking women. We come back to the studio for a discussion with Cheryl and the medical marijuana patient she's brought along to tell their story. And so mainstream Mary, when she is watching this, says, wow, they don't look like stoner potheads at all. They don't look like a stereotype. Maybe medical marijuana is a good thing. You get it? The background dramas don't make it to air. The public sees someone who represents the next phase of marijuana, the mature, business-oriented, professional legal marijuana world. So what's wrong with that? Isn't that a net good for the movement? The haters will say, oh, she's all in it for self-promotion. Okay, fine. Let's suppose that's true. If that self-promotion is attached to a positive image of a marijuana consumer, what's the problem? If that self-promotion is getting the stories of real patients to the mainstream masses, what's the problem? Now, I know the tales from the people she's brought onto the national television stage. They're my friends. And it matters not how it happened or who emailed who first or what promises were made or broken or perceived or whatever. To the mainstream perspective, here's a professional woman promoting medical marijuana, and these are some of the patients she is helping to expose their stories nationally. That's all they see. Very little of the mainstream crowd is surfing to the 25,000th ranked U.S. website to read lengthy diatribes of Cheryl's evil. But if they do, what they will perceive isn't that Cheryl's evil, it's that this nice, attractive professional lady who got people on national TV is now being attacked by those people. And people will perceive that the bong-ripping, tie-dyed, long-haired, stereotypical medical marijuana potheads are attacking her as well. And they're going to think, well, if those people hate her, she must be onto something good. Now, the Hornets will say this has something to do with integrity, that somehow we as a movement must expose her deceit and lies and shameful self-promotion and whatever other buzzword I've forgotten. All right, let's say that's successful. The nice professional lady who was seen as a promoter of legalization and is now the head of Moms for Marijuana is torn down and exposed. That helps marijuana legalization. How? Gee, if the mature professional lady is so bad, they'll think, how awful must those other pot smokers be? We're going to continue this rant into hour two. It's Toker Talk Radio. Thanks for sticking with us. I don't know if you can hear me right now, but until next time, take care of each other, you tokers.
We love it.
We love the earth.
So you got to protect it. The mother earth, you got to respect it. By using that pen, we'll give them money.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
you drink it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you manage it.